I'd like to write the title of the lesson on the board tonight. For those of you that maybe can't see or over on this side, I'm going to write, "That is my name." Thankful to see everyone again this evening. This is one of those nights that, because you're here, it means that there was a little bit of pressing out to do. When I left, I wasn't sure if maybe I would just be here with a very few, given the rain that I was going through, but I am thankful for all that have made it out, and I'm also thankful that there is hope that is associated with the gospel, such that when it touches sensitive places where we live, it always comes with an answer, a way out, hope. And if it weren't for that, all of us here tonight would be lost. But because there is hope in Jesus Christ, and it's not the kind of hope where you cross your fingers and you might or you might not get in, it's a hope that comes with the reality that Jesus Christ is calling every single one of our names tonight. Regardless of where we are, regardless of our background, regardless of sins we've committed, failures that are associated with our name, that's why Jesus Christ came, that everybody could be saved. That is the hope of the gospel. I'd like to start this evening with an account in 2 Samuel 12 and 1. It's not a very long account, but it speaks loudly to me, to my heart. Trust that you'll pray for me tonight and that the Lord will bless the service. Said, "And the Lord sent Naaman unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city. One was rich and the other was poor." So this Nathan's coming. He's just telling David, telling him something that happened. And he said, "The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man over here, he had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own meat, drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that came unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him." So there was a traveler that maybe came from out of town, and he showed up at the rich man's house. And the rich man, who had all kinds of flocks and herds and riches, he went to the poor man's house and he took from his herd to feed the man that came to his house. And it said, "And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die." Seemingly oblivious that he was the man. He was talking to him. And yet it looked like he had no idea that he was the man, unless he wanted to die. Because he said, "If this really happened, this man right here that you just described, he shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. You're the one." And tonight, I'm inspired and challenged, really, with the question, the thought, of how well are we aware of who we are? How willing are we to come face to face with who we really are and acknowledge it and say, "That's me. That's my name. You just described me." I look in the mirror and I say, "I don't like what I see, but that's me." You know that when I look in the mirror, I see mostly black hair. I really do. I don't know what it is about our brains. I grew up with black hair. And when I looked in the mirror, there was black hair. And I see some gray. But mostly, I see dark hair. And then I see a picture of myself. And I say, what happened to this? The light. What happened to the light? It almost makes my hair look like it's gray. It's because it is. But when I look at myself in the mirror, for whatever reason, and I really don't mind that I have gray hair, but for whatever reason, that's not what I see. Oftentimes, it goes deeper than that. There are so many times where we can be willingly blind to who we are. Times where we don't want to acknowledge what we see, because it's not always pretty. There are other times when there are responsibilities that are clearly in our lap. It's our responsibility to take care of. God has put it there. And yet we are not willing to acknowledge the responsibility that we have. Sometimes with other people's lives, children, family, that have been put in our care. And a lot of times our very own lives, we have responsibilities that we turn our eyes away from. Or we put it in a different light than what reality is. Sometimes we're fearful of acknowledging what it is, because perhaps if we do, then there's some accountability that comes with that. And we're really not ready for being accountable for who we are and what we're seeing. Many years ago, quite a few years ago, I had an opportunity to go game fishing. Not bass fishing or catfish fishing, but game fishing, where you fish for marlin, fish that swim fast. And we got in this boat, and it was a chartered boat, and there were six of us, and they had places for the poles. There were, I believe, six spots for the poles to go. You didn't hold them. You put them in their place. And in the back of the boat was a chair. I'm going to call it the chair of responsibility. And if you got something on your pole, that's where you were supposed to go sit. And so in the meantime, you went and you waited. And the skipper, to try to make it fair, had a whiteboard that was posted in the boat, and he had six names, and he had six pole positions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And every 30 minutes or so, he'd go over there and he would erase the number that was by your name, and he would shift you to the next pole so that no one would think that somebody had an unfair advantage because of where the pole was. And we started off with excitement, and that soon led to a little bit of boredom, because nothing was happening at all. And we sat there, and it was just dead. And time began to go by, and he would erase the numbers and put the next number. And you had to kind of keep track of what position was which, because those weren't labeled. Another 30 minutes would pass, and he would change it, and we were just sitting there, nothing happening. And it was maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours into it. All of a sudden, one of the poles just went wild. And everybody sat up, and I looked, and no one moved. Not a person moved. And I looked at that pole, and I thought, I think that's mine. I think it is. And I looked up at the whiteboard, and I looked back at the pole, and all this time the pole is just going crazy, and everyone's just sitting there watching, including me. And I looked back at the whiteboard. I looked back and I thought, I'm pretty sure that's mine. Now, if it's not mine, I don't want to just jump up and take responsibility for it if that's not my name. Pretty soon the skipper hollers out, Who is number, whatever it was? Who's Rod Smith? And I'm Rod Smith. That's me. That's my name. Well, go sit in the seat. Get up. Go. That's yours. Get on with it. And you know, I've thought about that, and I feel like that happens to us in life. The pole of life. We'll call it the pole of self. Sometimes our poles, if you will, they take off and they start trying to tell us something. And they're bent over backwards. And look, it's not always good things that are on the end of the pole. Sometimes there's unpleasant things on the end of the pole. And sometimes in life, it's our pole. It's our life. And the pole is just begging to be attended to. And no one's moving. Not the one that has responsibility. It has your name on it. It's you. You're the one. And yet, for whatever reason, sometimes we hold back and we delay and we defer for whatever reason. And often miss the value that is associated with getting up, taking control of the thing that's ours to assume, sit down in the chair of responsibility and say, I own it. It's mine. It's me. My number's been called. It's my turn. I have a responsibility now to deal with what is happening here. Tonight, I'm challenged to be willing to say, that's my name. It's me. It's me, Lord. Lord, I'm in need of help. And take ownership of it. We find in the book of Jonah, and I'm not going to read the story because we all are probably pretty familiar with it, that the Lord gave Jonah a clear and direct command. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And I want you to take the gospel. And I want you to preach to them. Here is the will of the Lord for you in your life. I'll worry about the people in Nineveh, but this is your responsibility. This is what I want you to do. And we find that what Jonah did was he got up and he fled from that responsibility. It was God's voice, but Jonah didn't like, he wasn't comfortable with what he was being called to do. Well, Nineveh wasn't a very pleasant place to go. And there were risks associated with going to Nineveh. They played hardball in Nineveh to people they didn't like. And I get it from a human standpoint. And I also get it from a human standpoint that often we can face ourselves and see things that are very unpleasant. And that if we're going to change them, it's going to require something that causes a course change in our life that we're not always ready to make. But by running and fleeing from it doesn't change the fact that the need is still there. It doesn't change the fact that God has called us to do something about our lives. He called Jonah and he got up and he fled, got on a ship, paid the fare thereof, and he went, I guess, out of sight, out of mind, out of responsibility. He tried to get away from it. Now, I don't think that Jonah thought that he was actually going to be able to hide from God where God didn't know where he was. I don't think that. But what I do think was that somehow he endeavored to get away from and being distracted from the truth that the Lord opened up to his mind. This is what I want you to do, Jonah. Well, I'm going to go to Tarshish. And so that's what he did. He got on a boat and he went in the opposite direction that the Lord called him to. And tonight, the shipping hubs of the world are more than ready to comply with your desire to sail somewhere else. They operate 24/7. And there's a whole lot of those ships. I mean, those ships, they are there lined up to meet every single excuse we have. And they're labeled. They're labeled on the side of them. This is the ship of denial. Just jump on and you can go somewhere else. The ship of self-justification. We all have reasons. We all have excuses. We can all point to other people. And there's the ship of blame. There is the ship of just simple distraction. All of these ships, they leave port on the hour. They leave on a moment's notice if you want to climb into them and go. And we are so good at being consumed with the escapes that are available to us. There's a lot of escapes that are available to us in life. That phone's one of them. You can open that thing up and just go to another place for hours. Then pretty soon it's time to go to bed. And then you get up and it's time to go to work. And then you can pull whatever out. Hobbies, you name it. There are so many escapes available for us to climb into those ships and go sail somewhere besides what the Lord has shown us that He would like us to do, that we can take on a dim view of reality as we jump up to answer the knock of distraction. The other night we talked a little bit about the man that was spoken of in James, the first chapter. It said that that man was a hearer of the word, but it said that he wasn't a doer. And then he began to explain what that man was like. And he said, this was the man that came and he beheld his natural face in the glass. In other words, he saw exactly who he was. He didn't have a mask on. He didn't have a covering or a veil between him and the glass. He looked in the glass and he saw who he was. But then it said he went his way. And straightway, he forgot what manner of man he was. God didn't forget what manner of man he was. And you know what the reality is? People probably didn't either. That's how it normally works. We see who we are in a snippet sometimes, those places where we're honest with ourselves, intellectually honest, God speaks to our heart, we see ourselves in this glass, and we might not like it. Well, I'll think about it. Well, I'll deal with that later. Yeah, whatever. And we go out the door, and the Lord's going, wait. Well, you just left the same way that I just got finished showing you needed to change. And often other people are looking at you going, wait a minute, I thought you just realized there might be a problem here. Where are you going? Well, I got a ship I got to get on. We got places to go, got things to do. And those ships just, I mean, they're accommodating. They help you on. They help you stay on. They'll go just wherever you want to go. And in the meantime, the reality of who we are goes with us. Folks, the Lord's desire for us tonight is that we receive help in those places where we need help. That's why the Lord came. The Lord came to do something special for us. He came to help us in the places that maybe aren't pretty. He came to help us with those responsibilities that maybe we would rather avoid and not have to spend a whole lot of time thinking about. Our part is not to run away from it. Our part is to acknowledge the reality of it and then not run away from it, but say, Lord, would you help me? Lord, help me understand what your will is for me, and help me to be a better person. And that's the business that Jesus Christ is in. If we're not able to hear the still small voice of the Lord, folks, God knows how to get loud too. And I'd rather hear the still small voice, wouldn't you? The Lord would rather gently lead us, because what he's trying to do, he's trying to get us to heaven. He's trying to help us to have abundant life. He's trying to make our lives so that we can raise our hands and say, yes, I experienced abundant life in the Lord here on this earth. Tribulation, yes, still have tribulation. But peace in my heart, never experienced greater peace in my heart. That's what the Lord wants for us. But our responsibility is to not cover up the things that the Lord shows us. In Proverbs, the scripture says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You say, well, I'm not sinning. Well, he that covereth the weights that are dragging him down. He that covereth those things that the Lord puts his finger on that are interfering with what he wants to do for you in life. And why doesn't he not prosper? I mean, they're covered. Maybe so-and-so doesn't see him. You know, sometimes we can cover some things up. We don't prosper because they're still there. And they eat at us. And they start to flow over into other areas of our life and affect those. Sometimes people, they're having problems in one area of their life, and they come and they say, I don't understand. I'm asking the Lord to help me in this area, and I'm praying, and it's just not happening. And I don't get it. This thing right here. And yet you find that this thing over here, they are willingly ignoring the voice of the Lord. And it spills over and begins to affect other areas of their life that they can't get the victory over because they're not letting the Lord into their life to deal with the places that he's put his finger on. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Thank the Lord. Whoso confesseth. That's me, Lord. That's my name. Lord, I just heard something that registers. I think that's who I am. I'm willing to get up. I'm willing to sit in the seat of responsibility and strap the seatbelt on, put the belt on so that I can hold on to that pole and handle whatever it is that's on the other end of it until victory can come. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. The psalmist said something similarly. He said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. I got it out on the open. I came down, Lord, at this altar of prayer and I humbled myself and I said, Lord, here it is. Here's who I am. I acknowledged it. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression before the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Didn't have to pay for it. Didn't have to go back and try to do whatever so that it never happened, because that's impossible. And yet Jesus Christ came and said, there's a way out. How wonderful is that? Wherever you're at tonight, whatever your background is, whatever sins may have been in your life, it's not hopeless. The Lord says, come, confess. Confess to me who you are. Let me know who your name is. Be honest about it. And I will forgive the iniquity of my sin. Yes, Lord, that's me. Lord, I'm selfish. Lord, I heard the word of the Lord, and Lord, I think that is who I am. I'm critical. I have a critical spirit. Lord, I tend to be judgmental. Lord, I'm selfish. I make it about myself too often, and I don't look up on the needs of other people. Lord, that's me. I'm pursuing my own way, and I am neglecting spending the time that you would have me spend to understand how to please you in a better way. Lord, that's me. And this list could go on and on and on. Lord, I am more interested in the temporal things of this life than I am putting priority in coming to church, reading the Bible, my prayer life. Lord, I almost look at those things as duties that I just have to do and cross off. And when it's not convenient, Lord, my heart, you're right, it's somewhere else. I know there's always times where we can't do things like we would like. That's life, and the Lord understands that, and he's a loving God. But I'm talking about where our heart is. I'm talking about our heart. Lord, I do have my affection on things of earth more than I have them in heaven. Lord, I spend more time trying to figure out what I want in this life rather than what you want from me in this life. The Lord wants us to be open about those things. He wants us to be willing to allow some core samples to take place in our life. You know what a core sample is? A lot of times when you're going to build something substantial on ground, you don't just look and say, well, that looks like a good, smooth, strong surface. There's concrete on there, and it's smooth. If you're getting ready to build something big on there, people will come in and take a core sample. They'll go down deep, and they'll pull the soil out, and they'll start to analyze it at each depth to understand what it is you're getting ready to build on, because it might not be buildable. And yet sometimes we're content with just what the surface looks like. God would like us to be willing to let Him come into our life and start to probe a little bit and say, why are you doing that? Why do you respond that way? Well, we always have reasons, but let the Lord continue to ask us why. Are we willing for that tonight? Are we willing for the still small voice of the Lord to come our way and listen to it? Do we take the time to look at the side of the boat to see what boat we just climbed onto? What does it say? Is it denial? Is it distraction? Is it neglect? Is it blame? Lord, I want to be honest with you. There's scriptures that teach us to not quench the Spirit. When the Spirit of the Lord comes and He begins to deal with your heart, don't immediately find reasons to quench it and make excuses for where you are. Just be open before the Lord and let Him dig. Let Him have free reign in our lives so that we can better understand. Another scripture says to try the Spirit. Give it some time to see, Lord, I was just dealt with about this thing, and before I quickly push it off to the side, or Lord, I heard the minister say something over the pulpit, and my first response was, that's not right. He's just misguided. He doesn't understand that. I know better than that. Go on my way. Lord, help me to try that, Spirit. Lord, would you allow me, help me, Lord, to give it time to understand if maybe You're trying to speak to me about a real need that I have in my heart. Did you know that when, was it Samuel that came to Saul? And he said, what does the bleeding mean and what does the lowing mean? Well, he already knew the answer to that. He wanted Saul to acknowledge the answer to that. And he didn't want Saul just to say, oh, that's sheep and oxen. Yeah, but what's behind the sheep and the oxen? You see? Do you know when the Samaritan woman came to the well and Jesus met her and He asked her, He said, can I have a drink of water? The Lord, it wasn't that He was so thirsty for Himself, but He wanted her to recognize that she needed a drink of water. He wanted her to recognize that you have a need of water and I have something to give you that you need. And the blind man that He led out of town, remember, before He healed his eyes, He led him out of town. The Lord didn't need to lead him out of town to take care of his eyes. Do you think the Lord led him out of town just because He wanted to take a walk that day for exercise? I believe He needed to get that man to another place. And the Lord would like to lead us to another place sometimes. Before healing, He wants us to be willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll be led. Yes, Lord, I'm willing for You to deal with my heart in those hard places. And if we choose not to be led, we say, no, I just, Lord, help me in just this area right here. This is what I'm asking for. And our minds and our ears and our heart is closed to these other things that the Lord is trying to get across to us and trying to deal with this on. And we just want to come to the Lord with sing a la carte prayers. You ever been eating somewhere and everything is just, you can buy this or this and each, it's a la carte. You pay for each item separately. You don't get the whole meal. And sometimes we like to go to the Lord with needs that we have, desires that we have, and we just want the Lord, we just want to be deal with this right here. And the Lord's saying, I got a whole meal for you. I'd like you to be willing to pay the price, and I've got some vegetables over here that you really need to eat. And be willing to do that. Remaining idle. Remaining where we're just accepting of our current position is not going to get us anywhere. Folks, our life is not just about flesh and blood, but there are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this world that are in fact working against us, trying to get us to get on a ship to take us somewhere else besides where the Lord would have us to go. That's the business that the enemy's in. I want to hear the voice of the Lord tonight. In the third verse, in the first chapter of Jonah, it said, "And he paid the fare thereof." Did you know there's a cost? There is a cost associated with going somewhere different besides where the Lord has asked us to go. There's a cost associated with having an attitude that we have it figured out. We're satisfied with where we're at. This is my life. And it's normally a whole lot higher than the cost that we think it is. It was a lot higher for Jonah. He ended up in the belly of a fish for several days. And there were other people that were impacted by it. There were men that were on that ship that just about lost their lives because of that. And they threw their possessions over into the water because Jonah was not giving the Lord his heart. Because Jonah was running away from where the Lord was calling him to. Folks, the Lord's not asking us to pay something that's too high a price. He's asking us to pay for the very things that we need. Now is the accepted time. The longer that we put off addressing those things in our lives that the Lord has put his finger on, the greater the cost is. What are the realities in your life tonight? Are there places in your life tonight that the Lord has maybe touched, put his finger on, maybe a long time ago and it's still there? Do you know the Lord wants to help you with that? The Lord's invitation is, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That's the business that he is in. It's to give us rest. But our responsibility is to come and say, "That's my name, Lord. That's me. I'm willing to step up to the plate. Willing to be counted. Willing to take ownership. Willing to sit in the chair of responsibility and do what I need to do for my part. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." It may not always be a wicked sin that's in our lives, but sometimes it's weights and it's hindrances and it's little bits of neglect, and there are things that are getting in between us and our relationship with the Lord. And he said, "If you'll be willing to turn away from this and call on my name and be humble before me, I'll be willing to come and help you." And I want to conclude with this evening. If you want to be called by the Lord's name, you're going to have to come face to face with your own name. I want to be called by the Lord's name. But one of the requirements is that I have to come face to face with my name and who I am and the need that I have. And that's the business that the Lord's in, to show us. And then the hope of the gospel is that even though it may be unpleasant, he'll help us with a way out. And he brings forgiveness and help. And if the Lord's dealt with your heart on something tonight, or he does throughout the course of this meeting, I want you to know that There's no shame in coming to an altar of prayer or bowing at your seat where you are, bowing. Did you know there's a power, there is a special blessing that comes with bowing before the Lord at the time of His visitation and not delaying or deferring. But when the Lord visits, when the Lord passes by, that we would be willing, yes, sometimes it takes humility, that we would be willing to bow and to seek the Lord's face in prayer at the time of His visitation. There's no shame in that. There's blessing in that. There's power in that. Let's be willing tonight and in this meeting to open up our hearts. And if the Lord touches us in some place, that we'd be willing to say, "That's my name. That's me. Lord, I stand in need of help." And the promise of the Lord is that He will visit us. He'll help us and He'll give us hope in life. Pray for me because I want to be responsible for who I am, and I want to make heaven my home. Amen.